and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I am joined by my handsome co-host, Roger Robbins, in the studio. Today, we're going to be talking about the Law of Moses, and all this week, we'll be talking about this theme. But just to give a brief overview of what we're going to go over today, we are going to be just giving you an overview of the context within that the Law of Moses was given, theological, historical, and then finally we'll end with just how we as Christians today should view the law, how it can be useful to us, and how it fits in with the grace of God and the finished work as we know it. So, Raj, why don't you get us started?
Well, this is, first of all, I mean, amazing last week, like five amazing podcasts about sexuality and culture. What a great week it was.
It was good.
I was like really fired up. And I really was refreshed and I felt like sharpened and ready and like more focused. So I hope you guys were too. And then this week, kind of diving into something that's like, I want to use the word ancient.
You know,
like this is an ancient topic. The Bible, first of all, is an ancient and unique, one of a kind book. There's nothing to compare it to. So, as we talk about this whole week, the Law of Moses and what does it mean, and how can we use it, and how can we understand it? The premise is, the book we hold in our hands, the Bible, is an ancient book. And that book is somewhere, you know, first starting off 4,000, 3,400 years, we know that is somewhere around the days of Abraham and then into the days of Moses. So just kind of laying that foundation that this is an ancient book and the study of the Bible. Okay, the study of the Bible is a lifelong process.
Yeah.
So even the study of the law really is and should be and encouraged to be a lifelong process that we are to enjoy and to like ponder its mysteries and look at its histories, right? I think there's a something quoted by one of our pastors. So it's a journey. That's the other thing I just want to say. Like, so the Law of Moses, as we interpret it, as you interpret it, and just as a side note, if you've never been to Bible school and you want to know more about the Old Testament, because the old and new go together, I think we can really grasp a lot of the principles of the New Testament quite easier. And of course, mainly because Jesus becomes flesh and dwells among us and reveals himself very specifically, and but in the Old Testament, Bible school was a great way to dive in for 1 or 2 hours and learn like your hermeneutics. And your hermeneutics were and are, it's like it's the science and art of how to interpret the Bible. So it's foundational. Hermeneutics is foundational. So I need the right principles to help me read this ancient text. And there are. There's good ones. There's ones that have been applied for hundreds and hundreds of years. Great men and women of God have just done so much work to put us where we're at. So with that being said, the Law of Moses, you know, I think what comes to our mind is Moses and a picture of him on a mountain with lightning flashing, holding
Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Yes.
Two tablets of stone. Okay. So I want you guys just to picture this. God's plan is so awesome. And it starts with stone, but its goal is to start, is to end with flesh. Okay. So picture it this way. God's, the whole premise and idea and the reason for the law was to put something on the outside that no one could measure, no one could overcome, no one could perfect, no man or woman, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned.
Yeah.
But that the intention of the law was to get to the heart, and it would come through Jesus Christ. So the stone would become flesh. And that's kind of like, I want you to take that in as we just like start this off. The law was stone and it was words, right?
Yeah.
And just briefly, just to sum it up, there's five books of our beginning of the Old Testament, of our Bible, and it's called the Pentateuch.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. When you look at it, and you could just take some time and read it, guys.
Yeah.
One of the first things we see and that we skip over is Genesis, and we're going to get to that because you can't skip over Genesis.
Yeah.
If you want to understand the law of Moses. And then lastly, and we're going to get to this too, we're going to hit Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the repetition. It's over again. It's
a repeat,
of the law. So God's got a great plan, and he made it very, very concise, very, I mean, compared to today's laws that we see with volumes.
Yes.
But his law being of the true and only holy law is very concise, actually, very, very valuable for our day. And so we're going to dig into that.
Yeah, I think that I love what you said about going from stone to flesh, because I know, at least for me, there were times earlier in my faith journey that the Old Testament was very intimidating to me, and specifically how to view the law was confusing to me, because when you are taught the grace of God, you're taught the finished work, you're taught very much from the New Testament, the Old Testament can look a little bit like, well, why is it different? Well, is the God of the Old Testament, you know, different from the God of the New Testament? And of course, we know that that can't be. We know that God does not change. And yet, there is a part of us that can wonder when we read the Old Testament, this is different. This isn't the way that Jesus
wondering,
was.
Wondering, right.
And so I just would encourage our listeners, as we encourage each other in this, that the Old Testament is absolutely accessible to us, first of all. Like you said, there's so many resources that even though it's an ancient book, and it's important for us to recognize that it was written for an ancient time, especially the law, it was given to a people living in a pagan world. It was very practical. If you read some of them,
we're going to talk about that.
I just enjoy the practicality of the law. You know, sometimes it's very detailed. But it's important that we understand this, like the story of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel as a whole.
Right.
And like you said, it starts in Genesis. It doesn't start with the law.
So let's go there, right? So Genesis 6, right? We see the first mention of the word heart. And it's Genesis 6, 5, and it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in and on the earth, and that every intention of the heart, thoughts of his heart, man's heart, that is, was only evil continually."
Mm.
So God sees the heart.
Yeah. He always has seen the heart.
And that's his goal, right? Yeah. Like we could just go through scripture today and show you and remind ourselves how much it's all about the heart.
Yeah.
It's all about the inside. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with that, actually. Romans chapter 2 is also a good comparison of this, that if you're going to be a Jew, you're not a Jew outwardly, you're a Jew inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a relatable, very tangible thing to understand, that you were a certain type of people based on who you were by blood, by family, by the internal, specific, undeniable things that are only made by God.
Yes.
So this heart is the issue, and it is the thing that God is honing in on. He's like laser focus. He wants your heart.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm looking to change the heart, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever heard this, but like God has mentioned it very many times that his people, these people, the Jews, the ones he chose, were a stiff-necked people. And that's just a broad, like, that's all of us. So
that's
we don't even have to point to a certain people group. We can just put our hands up real
quietly. Yeah, it was more. I like to think about when we think about the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. They were special in that they were chosen by God. They weren't in and of themselves special. They were very ordinary. I think we see that when we read Exodus and how they complain and they forget and they just want to be comfortable. They're ordinary people. We are the same. If we were in the nation of Israel, it would not be different. What was special about the nation of Israel was that God chose them to reveal himself.
Yes.
That's what's special about them, right? And I think when we talk about the law, like you were saying, we're starting in Genesis because this is the beginning of the birth of the nation of Israel, mm-hmm. long before the law, right?
Yes, that's correct. And it's also the beginning of God's revelation.
Yeah.
Specifically, like to Abraham, right? We see that in Genesis 12, 13, and 14. And 15, right? We have a specific person. We got a name. We got a family. He's coming from Mesopotamia. He's God's singling him out, and he's got a plan that looks really like, you know, what are we doing here sort of plan. But then we see, and I think this is a key to understanding the law of Moses, right? Before we just go into that, we got to understand what came first.
Yes.
And Abraham came first. You know, Moses' father was, you know, all these other men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, and Joseph, God's promise to Abraham.
So let's go back, look at it. What happened to Abraham that is the foundation of all of this? And that is the Lord, and he believed the Lord in verse 6, and it says, and it he counted it to him as righteousness.
That's Genesis 15, right?
6. 15:6. Okay, so before we get into the law,
that is referenced so much in the New Testament. So that verse, in and of itself, it's the very first book of the Bible.
Yes,
and we see it mentioned in the New Testament. I love that.
So maybe for those who are listening to this and have been thinking about the law, you know, to open your eyes and maybe you don't even believe in Christ today. You know, like if you want to understand more about the Old Testament, about the Bible, this ancient book, then you're going to have to put your trust in Christ. You're going to have to put your trust in God, like Abraham did.
Mm.
Because two chapters later, he says, take your son and circumcise him on the eighth day. And the whole reasoning behind that is it seems so strange, like a law that was physical and very personal and very like real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being set apart and it's distinguishing,
mm-hmm.
it's marking. And that is like, what it is that God has found a man who put his trust in him. And now he's going to show the world his righteousness.
Yeah.
And doing that, because man was sinful and because he fell, he's going to use the law to really define the true intentions of God's heart.
Mm.
And so what are the true intentions of God's heart? What does he want to do, right? If you skip over to Leviticus 19,
mm-hmm. Leviticus
19, it says that in verse 2, just to shorten it up, it says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.
Mm.
That's his goal.
Yeah.
He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you like he is. Mm-hmm. He wants to restore the fellowship lost that happened in the garden. And he's going to do it. He's got a plan. He's going to make a way.
Mm-hmm.
And the law is the very stone, the foundational elements, the cornerstone of what would be Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there was the entrance, the way making.
Mm-hmm.
And so the law is there. And it's going to be laid down. And it happens in the book of Exodus.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to get that timeline right. I don't know that I always had that down pat, you know, when I thought about the Old Testament and how it all went, that Abraham was called. He responded in faith. It was counted to him as righteousness. Then we see the progression, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, mm-hmm. all within the book of Genesis.
Right.
And then Joseph, right, who saves the, at that point, we can't even call them a nation, right? They were a tribe. They were, mm-hmm. they were not big enough to be even called a nation at that point. Abraham's descendants mm-hmm. were not as many as the stars yet.
Yeah.
Like God promised him. So at that point, Joseph rescues his entire tribe by
bringing them to Egypt.
We remember that he was sold into slavery. One of my absolute favorite parts of the Old Testament is Joseph. And it ends with his death. The book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph after he has saved his tribe from starvation during that famine that mm-hmm. he was prepared for in Egypt with the help of the Lord. So all of that was God's plan to bring the people, the tribe, Abraham's descendants, to Egypt to survive. And then Exodus 1 says that there was 70 men in that tribe.
Right.
So not a ton. When they leave Exodus, when God calls Moses and says, you have to lead my people out of Egypt. I have heard their cries. They have been oppressed and in slavery, and now it's time. You're the man. And Moses is like, no, I'm not the man. And God's like, yes, you're the man. And he's like, okay. He chose a meek man. And that's when he leads them through incredible wonders, like the plagues that God shows his power, his ability, his might, like his awesomeness yeah. in that liberation.
Specifically.
And he shows his mercy towards them, that he hears their cry.
Yeah.
He brings them out of Egypt. And now they are, it says, 600,000 men. So not counting women and children. Mm-hmm. And even when they say men, sometimes they mean within a certain age range. So mm-hmm. it could be as many as 2 million.
Yes.
The nation. Now they're a nation. 2 million is...
Yeah. You got yourself
a nation.
You got a
okay?
country, you got a flag,
and
you got the whole thing.
A nation, imagine 2 million people. Like, they need... not just one good leader in Moses. Mm. They need structure. Yeah. Their society needs guidance.
Yeah. It's like, we got to get this together here. Like,
they're not 70 people anymore.
So how does that all play out, right? So you got Exodus 12, you got the Passover. There's some law in there already setting the stage for what would be that there's going to be a leader. So let's talk about that. Like, so for laws, there has to be its leader. And the laws are forming the identity of what the leader wants. Mm-hmm. Like, so the leader or leadership, like today in America, we see leadership in like three branches, right? Mm-hmm. Judicial, the Senate, and the House, right? Like, you have like a lot of plurality. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people like having their say and, you know, coming up in the middle and saying, yeah. hey, here's a good point.
Enforcing the laws.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like there's voting and like, okay. And now we all agree.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking about the living God. Okay. And we, you know, I'm so humbled and privileged to say I was at the Red Sea, and just looking at it was yeah. like,
I know.
I mean, just be quiet and just yeah. stare at the water, you know, and just think about how one Yahweh, God, one person, singular,
yeah.
you know, God splits the water.
We got to baptize a Jewish person
we
in
did.
The Red Sea.
We did. We baptized a Jewish
just
man,
a tangent,
Monty.
But that was incredible. And,
yeah. So
that was not lost on us.
No, that was his,
beautiful.
That was, so the point is that this law is going to separate and like you said, define and distinguish,
set apart.
And it's going to become useful for the formation of this nation.
Yeah.
Which in a way you could look at it on a graph as like it's very, very thin. And then as, you know, exponentially, the number of population gets really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately it thins out again because Christ is at the end of it.
Mm.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it starts with one.
Right.
It's really big in the middle. And it's like, oh, it's
Jesus is
what's all happening here? And it's kind of like that's what we read in the Old Testament. It's a little bit of a mess, a little bit of war, famine, lots of history gaps.
Yes.
But then it narrows back in the New Testament to one.
It's almost like Jesus is like the period at the end of that incredible story, like incredible sentence that was the God showing himself and his character, revealing it. By the way, he treated these people mm-hmm. like these stiff-necked, disobedient, forgetful people.
Yes.
He continued to care for them, redeem them again, save them out of slavery again. We see his long-suffering kindness. We see his mercy, his grace, right, all through the Old Testament. Right. And then Jesus is like the period that fulfills the law and then begins this like new age. So there's so much value,
yes,
in and, understanding that.
And think about, like, historically speaking, the Jews in Egypt, what were they? What was the one thing that they were in Egypt?
Slaves.
That's correct. They were slaves. I mean, we didn't talk about this
before. We did not plan that ahead of time. I was like, oh no.
A roll of the dice. I was like, you better get this right.
Oh, they were slaves. They did. Yeah, they were not free.
No. Their identity was in subjection,
yeah,
to another pagan nation. Yeah. Right? The Egyptians.
And their laws.
And their, like, yeah, beliefs in the afterlife and animals and messed sacrifice,
yeah,
and blood and war and worshiping the sun and the,
yes,
gods, right?
Yes.
So now God takes them out and he's like, the story will become straight. Mm. It's going to become crystal clear and I'm going to write it on stone.
Yeah.
And so that is, so if you want to know the law of Moses, it's Exodus 19.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from Exodus 19 to Numbers 10. So it spans in the Pentateuch, three books of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that geographical area is called Mount Sinai. So I encourage you to read it. You could just read the first chapter, Exodus 19, mm-hmm, and the last one, Numbers 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a good look at like what started and what ended, yeah, you know, and where, yeah, they went from there. And that period of time was 11 months and 6 days. There's an exact measurement.
Hmm.
It's amazing, recorded by the moon as they counted their days. So the law of Moses was given in a period of a year. And so it was foundational to the birth of the nation. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let's start getting into like a more personal application. What did it mean to the individual? Like, what did the law mean to the individual of that day?
Well, I think when we look at the law given in that day, like you said, like that context, that practical application, I did want to mention this book that our pastor also recently mentioned, and we actually had it on our bookshelf, and I was like, wow, we should bring this in.
This is a good read, guys.
It's by David Lamb.
Do
and
we
it's
put it here?
It's titled God Behaving Badly. And I think it's worth a read if these are some topics that you're wondering about. Maybe you've been nervous to ask these questions, specifically when it comes to the Old Testament God, which is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But one of the things that is great about this book is that he's looking at like who God is. Is he angry or is he loving? Is he legalistic or gracious? Is he violent or peaceful? So a great book. And our pastor here just recently mentioned something from the chapter, Is He Rigid or Flexible? Mm-hmm. Which was really a good thought when it comes to the law. The law is rigid. Law by nature, all laws by nature are rigid. They are unbending. If they were bending, they would not be a law. They could be like a theory or like an opinion.
Yeah, hypothesis.
But, a law in and of itself is meant to be rigid. It's meant, it has its value in that. And so when we think about the law that God gave, the Ten Commandments, followed by all of the laws when it comes to uncleanliness, when it comes to family rights, property, disease, divorce, mm-hmm, all these laws. One of the things I really liked from this book that he points out is that, first of all, the law itself, if we were to say we don't like laws,
mm-hmm,
that would be being dishonest, right? Because we really do appreciate, for he speaks to the rules, the laws of the road. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad that when I'm going through a green light, that I know for sure that the person has a red light, that they will be stopped at that red light.
Yes.
That's a law. We're all law-abiding citizens. And because of that, we can have a lot of comfort and a lot of trust,
peace,
as we are driving in our car. So laws provide structure,
yes,
that provide peace. So laws are meant to bring us to a place of peace. And he says, you know, we don't like to be restricted by laws, but we are glad that other people are. So I think if you've got a bad taste in your mouth when it comes to the law of Moses, consider how it was really given by a God who desired to care for his people. And
he has our best in mind.
Yeah.
Right? Like he knows better than we do.
And he says in this same chapter about, is God legalistic or gracious? So this is a different chapter, but in this chapter, he mentioned Psalm 119 and how David, the whole Psalm is a prayer to God and it is thanking him for his law. Mm-hmm. Your law is beautiful. I desire to know your law. I want it to be on my lips. He continues for a long, long time. It is the longest chapter in the Bible about the law. And it's because the author of Psalm 119 knew that his commands, and this is a quote from the book, his commands were a means of grace and a way for him to bless us. So I think there's a lot of value in putting the law in its historical context, that it really was meant to have a nation of people. This was what was going to govern them. Yes. They had no other law books.
Yes.
If you go to the Library of Congress in America, we have volumes and volumes and volumes of law books with sub-laws and sub-sub-laws and little, you know, we have, our laws are very, very broad.
Vast.
And then very specific. And that's what we see in the law of Moses. He gives us the Ten Commandments, very broad, almost like the Bill of Rights or Constitution. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not have any gods above me. Do not covet. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder or do not kill. We already said that. So they are very broad.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the minutia of how this society is going to function.
Yeah.
And I think that I appreciate that as a practical person. You know, when you run a household or you run a company, things have to be specific or they're not helpful. Like, well, what about in this situation? Well, what about if this happens? The law, if you read these, if you get into Leviticus, you can appreciate that there is minutia in there.
Yeah, it's like good to know that.
You know, like
Thank you.
The one that talks about disease and uncleanliness, I specifically love because of my science background.
Yes.
I really love how, and this is also mentioned in this book, God Behaving Badly, that the quarantine laws that God put in place for the people, the way that they were meant to handle bodily fluids, including blood and other discharge, the way that they were meant to handle people who had an infectious disease, some kind of skin problem, it was way ahead of its time. People didn't understand.
It was like cutting edge.
It was going to be this, millennia before people understood infection in that it spreads. It can spread from one person to another. And how?
Yes.
They didn't understand how it spread. They were just like, God told us to do this, so we're going to do
it.
We're
going to follow it.
And God is like, trust and obey.
Yeah.
And I've got you. I care for you. Yes. I want you to prosper.
And so that was the practical application for those people. And you even touched on the people like you and me today and you out there, you guys. Like, so. Yeah. Think about this. I was a slave to my sin, right? Like, let's say we're speaking to born again believers now. Like, I was a slave to my sin. I didn't know. I was blind. Now I can see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you came out of Egypt, the world. You're lost, right? And then now you've been found. You've been placed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Mm-hmm. And now God's going to give you these laws. And of course, we know that Christ was there to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17. Like, I didn't come to do away with it, but to fulfill it, right? So we're not replacing it. So hold on a minute.
What does
that mean? You're saying that the law is good for me. Hmm. And why is it good? You know, like, let's like start digging into that for a minute. Like, why is it good like that, that as a born-again believer, I would meditate on these words, I would think about the Old Testament. Is there value in it today as the modern believer? And I say modern, but I just mean like we're just moving on from an ancient day. Can it be that I could take the law of Moses and apply it in my life? If I have Christ, without a doubt.
Right.
Without a doubt. So I speak to two different people here, those who have Christ and maybe those that don't. Again, like I said in the beginning, if you don't know Christ, receive him and he'll take away the scales of your eyes. He'll take the blinders off. You know, he'll help you with and give you a heart of flesh to help you understand the heart of stone, right? Like you don't know until someone tells you, right? So, but to the Christian, can I practically take this in my life? We have children, and for those who have children out there, I remember learning the principles of the Ten Commandments, and I wasn't saved. Like I wasn't a believer, and I was
you
thinking,
were a depraved child.
Even before I came to Christ, my parents thought it was a good idea to give them and to have them know and to have them write it out and what it means, the Ten Commandments and the law. Why is that? Let's talk about that for a minute. Paul hits it really well in Galatians 3, right? That the law, in verse 23, in the ESV, it says guardian. In another way of taking the Greek word, it's tutor. That the law was a tutor.
A tutor,
and
right.
And a guardian. So to the...
A guide was another word.
Or a guide,
And some translations say school teacher.
School teacher.
But really, we were enjoying that the better word really is a tutor or a guide or guardian.
Yes. And that guide and guardian...
That was kind of bringing you to...
To
maturity.
Christ.
Yeah.
Bringing you to the real fulfiller, the perfect one.
Yeah.
The one who could take the outside, not only the outside, but then convert the inside. Mm. Because... That's what it says actually in Leviticus 26. I just want to make a note of this. I mean, you go, oh, what's in Leviticus, man? Like, I mean,
Leviticus is an amazing book.
I mean, but it's just a bunch of boring laws, maybe something, you know, all kind of strange to me. Well, in chapter 26, he spells it out. He says in verse 11, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And he goes on to talk about like that he's going to dwell with you, that he's going to be with you. And he's talking about the inner man. He's getting to the inner man. That's the whole picture of the temple that was like drawn up of the Holy of Holies and how one could go in. And we know that. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but that picture of the temple itself and the laws given to build it, make it, and run it by the Levites, it was all really going to be a fulfillment that you would personally enjoy today. As a modern Christian, you are to personally reap the benefits of its great like reasoning and distinction.
Yeah.
So yes, I can apply these laws. Some of them are ancient, right? So there's a long gap, and we don't have to apply them. But another thing I want to mention that I think we cannot miss is, you know what's so cool? God's so gracious. Because when you see in Numbers 10, after they leave Mount Sinai, do you know what they do 3 days later?
What do they do? Tell us.
Okay. There was a great rabble. Remember?
Yeah.
There was a great rabble. Mm-hmm. And what was the next part?
They had a craving.
They had a strong craving.
Strong craving.
A rabble and a strong craving, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, have you had a rabble and a strong craving?
And the craving was not for more of God.
No, it was for more of my law.
Yes.
No, it was for the things of Egypt.
They wanted to go back.
A rabble
they wanted
and
meat.
A craving. Right. They were upset at God.
Incredible.
Already. And we don't have to point to them. We can raise our hands. Like, just admit it.
Yep.
Humble yourself before the mighty God. He is good and he loves you. He has what's best in mind.
Yeah.
But you can't jump any further than Numbers 11 and see, wow, three days later, we pick up our bags and leave Sinai. We start going into a little, the next area, and we're already...
The God of the universe came. He spoke to us. Mm-hmm. He gave us a beautiful design and law that would help us, govern us, keep us safe, keep us healthy, keep us from going, you know, downwards in our societal norms, all these wonderful things. And then a few days later, they're like, man, we had it good in Egypt.
Yeah. And then lastly, think about this. The last book, Deuteronomy. God's so good. You guys love updates on your Apple phones and your you like updates on your apps.
Do. But yes.
You
know,
like you want to like, let's revise this.
A good revision. Yeah.
Like, can we like edit this a little bit and make it a little more applicable and like understanding and like,
yes,
you know, can we get a new translation here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses is looking back. It's the end of his life. And mm-hmm. he's like, let's do this again, guys.
Yeah.
It works.
Let's recap.
The law works. Yeah. It's good. It is holy. It wants to make you holy.
Mm.
God's got a plan. We're going to reiterate it. And we're going to like, let's go over it real quick. It says, and I love this, chapter 10, there's so much to talk about, but it says in chapter 10, here it is again, and it's talking about the heart, and it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord require of you but you to fear the Lord your God, fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve him, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. And keep his commandments and statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. We mentioned that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's for your good.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, and I love this, this very interesting verse, verse 15, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers.
Wow.
The Lord set his heart.
That sounds like the New Testament.
Yeah. In love on your fathers. Beautiful. And chose their offspring after them.
Mm.
You above all peoples, as you this day, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and no longer be stubborn.
The heart.
So he is taking the law mm-hmm. and now he's going in.
Yeah.
And that's what we can, like today, the modern Christian, if you were to let the law of God come into you,
yeah.
Psalm 19, the law is perfect and it converts the soul,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I think verse 17, it converts soul. You know, every word of God is pure. It will go in and do a work in the heart. And remember Jeremiah later on, 600 years later, he says it again.
Yeah.
He says, you guys got hard hearts and you need to circumcise your heart. And he was bringing back the point that the law, the guardian, the school teacher that was so good to us that we needed because we were slaves.
Yeah.
And here we are again, you know, because Jeremiah returns to Egypt, right? After Nebuchadnezzar lets them go. The Jews were like, let's go to Egypt now. You know, and Jeremiah's like, no. We've already been there. Like, just wake up. And I think for us, for the modern Christian today, it's like this incredible blessing.
Yeah.
And privilege and honor that we would know this. And
yeah, we are privileged in that, aren't we?
When we talk about it today, we are like with tears and great like urgency, we're asking you to apply these words because the book of Deuteronomy, Moses spells out blessing and curse.
Yeah.
He's like, if you do this, trust me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, doesn't it sound like your dad, like, or your mom, like, if you just obey me,
yeah,
you believe in me,
yeah,
you know my voice,
yeah,
you know
trust
my name,
me.
You know where I sleep, and
yeah,
you know the door, and you know the number of your house, but can you obey? So
this is a great segue to mention this other book we wanted to mention.
Yeah, let's hit that.
And this one is by Jackie Hill Perry, and it's titled Holier Than Thou. And just quickly from the back, the book really goes into the holiness of God and all the ways that we can understand his holiness. But the premise for her writing the book was that if God can't sin, then he can't sin against you. And if he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being there is?
Wow. Say it again.
If God can't sin,
mm-hmm.
he can't sin against you. If he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being there is?
Wow.
Like, the holiness of God is why he is worthy of our praise, but also of our trust. Like,
yes.
That he is trustworthy. I love that, because he does not change.
Yes.
He is not a man that he would lie.
Right.
There is no shadow of turning in him. Like, mm-hmm. the things we know about God should lead us to desire to trust and obey. And when it's put into the context of at the beginning with Abraham, he said, your faith was counted to you as righteousness. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when Jesus said, your faith is counted to you as righteousness. Right. And then in between, we see that he gives the law as a means of love, as yes. another way of expressing that he can be trusted, mm-hmm. that he cares for you, that he desires your good.
Right. And he's thinking to the skeptic too. Like, guys, we're talking like, we're not saying this is like nailed down. Like, we got this. Mm-hmm. This is our life journey, our life pursuit. Yeah. Moses pursued God 40 years in Sinai. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that peninsula, right? And then he gives Joshua, he gives so many other examples through the Bible. So to our skepticism or our faithlessness or times of doubt, you got to know, like, what am I going to stick with here? Like, if there's something to fall back on the law.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't
it's
know,
wisdom.
If you don't know where to turn, you know, maybe it's that voice from like a coach that told you, like, hey, even if you lose today, you know what we do. We line up and we shake hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, even if like you hurt, you know, a player gets hurt out there, injured out there, we stop and we make sure that they're okay. Like, even if like, many, many things.
Yeah,
like,
unexpected things happen.
Like,
yeah.
We have laws in place that you can fall back on. That's like uncompromisable.
Yeah.
And so what is it saying? Like, it's saying that if you trust, God is saying, if you trust in my law, mm-hmm. like, you have no idea because you can't see the future. Mm-hmm. I can, right? Yeah. I'm not going to sin. I don't sin. I'm not a liar. I'm not going to change.
Yep.
If you trust me, watch what happens.
Yeah.
And to the modern Christian, we have this great privilege to read the data.
Yeah, we have the
this
whole
ancient
thing.
Book
yeah.
is data that it works. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, go ahead and prove us wrong. Like,
well,
wow.
Well, I think that's a good point too, as we were wrapping up, to consider that not only was the law something that distinguished Israel specifically mm-hmm. in that time, in that ancient time, it set them apart. It also provided good and wise boundaries for that society, and many of those good and wise boundaries transcend that culture and that time to give us good and wise boundaries.
Yes.
And then it also, and this is something we won't spend too much time on, but we see in the New Testament,
yes.
like in Romans 7, we see that it talks about that the law helps us to understand sin. It defines sin.
Yes.
That now I know that this is sin, and that's because of the law. And then in addition to that, it was this guardian, mm-hmm. this tutor that brings us to Christ, that we need him because yes. we know of our sin.
Yes.
And with all of that in place, we should be right. so thankful that yes. we can look back on the law of Moses.
Right. Because in the end, we'll sum it up this way. Hebrews 10:1 says the law is the shadow of better things or good things to come. Mm. And that was Christ.
Yeah.
So like the law has its place.
Yep.
It is good. And it's amazing when a modern Christian can take this in. I ate your words.
Yeah.
I ate them. I did eat them and I thought about them.
Yeah.
And I applied them to my life. And look at, and you know what happens is you become a result. You become a testimony of the law. And it's really cool. It's not stone. It becomes
right, like
flesh.
Grace is not against the law, mm-hmm. but it is the fulfillment of it. Like yes. Jesus was the fulfillment. It started with Abraham being righteous by faith, and yeah. It has always been that we are righteous before God by faith.
Yes.
And the law gives us a great framework for that.
Yes. And
right?
Thank God for the law, huh?
Yeah.
That was so good.
Amen. All right. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this episode about the law, and thank you for joining us. Please don't forget to subscribe so you can keep up with all the coming episodes, and be sure to join our next show tomorrow as we continue on this topic of the Law of Moses. Thank you.
See ya.